Hello, welcome to Bare Naked Politics. This is the podcast for people who want to keep up with the headlines, who want to keep up with the news and politics, but who aren't necessarily experts. Don't worry if you feel kind of consistently a bit behind and a bit lost. I feel like a lot of us do. This is common, it's just not many people are willing to admit it, but this can be your cheat sheet to listen to this podcast and it'll bring you up to speed. I'm Julia Bell, and today, to be honest, even if you do think you're a bit of a whiz at politics, I think unless you are Welsh, this might be a bit of a blind spot. It's just a hunch, but it's quite rare that this is covered. I mean, me included, I don't know how often I talk about Welsh politics. Is that okay? No, but hopefully this will remedy that somewhat. By the way, I'm Julia Bell. And like I say, today we're going to take a trip over to Wales, which is actually really near where I live these days. I live in Bristol and it's just a little hop over the water to Wales from here. Some people at my like day job work commute in from Cardiff. So I'm a neighbour to you Welsh folk at this point, and today I want to do a deep dive into your politics, particularly the political changes that are being proposed, drastic changes you might say, for the Welsh Parliament, or the Senedd, as they call it, to give it its official title, the Senedd. By the way, that's spelled S-E-N-E-D-D. So, the Senedd, what is it? It basically, you know, it's the Welsh National Parliament. It handles a really broad range of issues internally within Wales. Obviously, if there's an international issue, like whether the UK enters a war or how the UK should handle like border controls or whatever, then that boils down to the UK Parliament, the Westminster Parliament. But when it comes to internal issues within Wales, the Senedd handles an awful lot. Everything from like transport, education, like how higher education should work, the schooling system, the curriculum, they handle that, or big parts of it. Housing, health, obviously, because we saw, you know, how Wales responded differently, quite drastically differently in some ways, to COVID, to the way that the kind of Westminster Parliament did, Westminster government. Language and culture, social care, elections, and how they should be run. That is an aspect too, which we will dig into today. Now, like I say, Welsh politics isn't really something that I've covered exclusively on the pod before. I've never done, like, I don't think, a dedicated episode to it. I feel bad about that. And there is this long-running theme that Welsh politics aren't particularly, you know, fairly represented in UK-wide or worldwide media. And I've fed into that problem by not talking about it. But in fairness, in the nearly 25 years since the first National Assembly for Wales was created, since, you know, Wales was, there was devolution to Wales for them to have their own version of a parliament. In that entire time, the Labour Party, the Welsh Labour Party, have held power that whole time. So it hasn't really been until COVID, in many ways, that we've seen these kind of seismic changes be proposed in the way that Wales is operating, like all at once. So that's quite a big deal, because in the past few weeks, like I say, there's been this big conversation happening around changing the way the Senedd works. And that's what we're going to look at today. The three main changes that have caught my eye in those proposals are, the first is they're going to look into increasing the number of elected members. Increasing the number, like, let's have more politicians, basically. And a lot more at that. So that's worth delving into. Why more? Why is more good? And how will it work? The second proposed change that we're going to kind of delve into is that they're looking to completely rejig the way people vote in general elections in Wales. So what do they currently do? Why is it changing? Why was the old way bad? Why is the new way good, according to the people who want to change it? That's something we'll look at. And then finally, and this is a kind of like, part of this, is that there are these changes proposed that would actively and urgently create a gender equal parliament. So like I say, pretty massive should these changes happen. Before I get into it, make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast or that you have clicked follow if you're listening on Spotify. Chuck it 5 stars, by the way. You can now rate that on, I think you can rate it on every platform. It really does help other people discover me. It takes you a small fraction of a second to do. It's free to do. And it means other people will go, ooh, that's good reviews. I'll give it a go. So it's very helpful for me. Also, follow the new Instagram page, at Julia Bell. No. That's my Instagram page. At Bare Naked Politics. I couldn't escape how self-absorbed I am there. Just default went into my own. No, it's at Bare Naked Politics. And that's really worth doing because there's kind of helpful content on there about politics, as well as teasers, details about upcoming episodes and so on. So give that a follow. And with that said, let's talk about Wales, finally. Okay, let's start by hearing from Mark Drakeford. Mark Drakeford is the First Minister for Wales. And this is what he had to say about why these reforms, these big reforms, are necessary, are needed, in his view.
People want to see a chamber here that is properly equipped to do the job that we are asked to do. Report after report, commission after commission has demonstrated that with its current membership and the level of responsibilities that are discharged here, you cannot do the job in the way the people in Wales have a right to be to expect it to be done. The reforms that we've agreed on will put that right, and we'll put it right not just for the next 10 years, but I think for the foreseeable future.
So there you go, they're big changes, and they are potentially indefinite changes, you know, forever changes. These could be things that last for the foreseeable future, for lifetimes. And like I say, that was Mark Drakeford, the First Minister for Wales, addressing the Welsh Parliament with that. And now I want to unpack those proposals in more detail. So what do they look like? How would they work? And to do that with me, to guide me through this, there was truly nobody better to do that than Jess Blair, Director of the Electoral Reform Society Cymru, or the Electoral Reform Society for Wales. And I started by asking her, you know, this idea where they're going to potentially introduce more politicians to Welsh national politics, more elected representatives in Parliament. The current layout, there are 60 members. In the proposal, it would go up to 96. I asked her what this idea was about and why it was such a dramatic increase.
So the Senedd, or the Welsh Parliament, has been in place now for nearly a quarter of a century. It was set up in 1999. And it was set up very much as your kind of, not much more than your local council, let's say, like limited powers. There was no actual separation of like a Welsh government and then the parliament back then. And over the last nearly 25 years, what we've seen is that change a lot. So we've seen the formation, separation of a proper government and the parliament. We've also seen new powers coming to Wales, loads of new powers, so they have a lot more kind of control over Welsh issues than they have had previously. They're also able to raise taxes now, make legislation, and despite that, we're still at 60 members. And just to put that in context, there are 8 councils in Wales with more members than 60. So this is our national parliament remaining on 60 members. So these kind of reforms, or these proposed reforms, have come to kind of correct that, I guess, and to recognise the fact that, you know, we've had nearly 25 years of devolution. A national parliament should be able to, you know, work properly and work effectively.
I did not know that about some local councils having more representation than your national your national parliament. Okay, so would you say this is like a pretty commonly respected proposal? Would you say that most people are on board with it, or is it contentious?
You know, it's always difficult to make a case for more politicians. Can you imagine if you said, actually, the House of Commons needs to increase by 50%?
I know what we need is more politicians.
More MPs.
I'd be like, yeah. No one has ever said that.
No one's ever said that. But I do think over the last 20 years, the case has been better made around increasing the size of the Welsh Parliament. There's been, I think, 2 commissions, 2 Senedd committees, all recommending an increase. And it's taken the political parties, a long time to kind of come on board with it. But I think they're now at the point where if this doesn't happen, then we have a parliament that's not really working. So, for example, committees are only sitting every other week at the moment because they haven't got enough members to sit every week like they used to.
Yeah, of course, because there's a lot of added things that kind of members of a parliament have to do other than just sit and argue with each other. There's all sorts of these kind of added responsibilities that each one has their different specialties and so on. So I guess the plate of a member of the Welsh Parliament, a member of the Welsh Senedd, would be so full if there was only 60 of you.
Exactly. And there was, I mean, back in, before they kind of got this under control, back in like the first or second terms of the Senedd, there's reports of people like leaving handbags or suitcases in one committee and then running to the other one that was sitting at the same time, like, because wow. there just isn't enough people to do the work and to like scrutinise essentially £17 billion worth of spending. So I think over time it really has become more accepted, if not, you know, something that people are going to go out in the streets and call for.
Okay. And you said that the powers that the Senedd has gained over kind of looking after its own country, right, looking after Wales's own issues, have increased, you know, somewhat dramatically, actually, since 1999 when it kicked off.
Yeah.
In what ways, if you could give us like a brief idea?
Yeah, oh my days, we're going back to my school days here, I think. But we've seen multiple pieces of legislation devolving, which I mean moving power from Westminster to Wales in the past, I guess, 20 years since devolution has been in place. And they include kind of big things like initially, the Senedd, or the Assembly as it then was, had to ask Westminster for consent to make any laws. Now they've got the power to make their own laws.
There's so is that powers. Kind of, for instance, why we saw Wales handling COVID differently?
Exactly. And I think that's what's really highlighted the change, is the COVID pandemic and the fact that, I guess, for a lot of decisions that were being made, there was a little bit of a test there. Like, ministers in Welsh government didn't necessarily know if they had the powers for all of this stuff, and they were just kind of saying, you know, actually this is our health system, it is devolved, we control our health system, and we're going to do this in response to that. So laws is one area. Then we've had new powers over elections, where I work in Wales now has control over the Senedd elections, the Welsh parliamentary elections, and Welsh local elections. And that's meant things like, you know, there's votes at 16 in Wales now. We've changed the franchise. So, you know, kind of leading the way and doing things differently.
You can vote at 16 in Wales?
Yeah, on our Welsh devolved elections, and all foreign nationals in Wales can vote on both local and Senedd elections as well.
Wow, okay. In terms of these proposed changes then, the key one that we've discussed so far being that you are adding loads of politicians to your parliament, which I feel like would give some people anxiety just listening to that. But is there a reason this is happening now? What is it about this moment in time? Because I think some people might say, do we really need, for instance, lots more politicians' salaries when we're facing what is a really drastic cost of living crisis, for example?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons it's happening now is kind of firstly the pandemic, and it's highlighted the strain that the parliament is under, but also it's happening now for political reasons. Essentially, there are the numbers in the parliament to pass this, in theory, but last week at a debate that kind of kicked off this process, we saw like overwhelming support for these proposals. So Labour are in power in Welsh government at the moment, and they hold 30 of the 60 seats in the Welsh Parliament. Plaid Cymru are in a cooperation agreement with them, so they've got like a deal to support them over the next 3 years. And between the two of them, they've agreed this package, and it's given the numbers that we need to push through.
Okay. Now, the second big change that we're looking into here is you're looking at the way in which people vote. Can you talk me through what the system was and how it will change if this goes through?
So this is going to be a real fun one for listeners who aren't used to Welsh electoral systems, because we've got different systems in Wales to England. So for currently, for our Senedd or Welsh Parliament elections, we have something called the additional member system, which is as fun as it sounds. So 2/3 of seats are elected by first past the post, which listeners will be used to. That's kind of a traditional way that general elections to UK Parliament work, for example.
And first past the post is nice and simple, just for anyone who's not familiar with that. It's basically like whoever gets the most votes wins, and you don't necessarily have to get a majority in your area. You can still win with like 30% of the vote if you happen to have more than anyone else, if it's just really split. So it's a super rudimentary, easy to understand system. So you're saying 2/3 of the parliament are voted in that way?
Yeah. And then the other third, because of the issues you just mentioned around, you know, you could get 30% of the vote and take a seat, is essentially like a compensation for that. It's like a balance of that. And you use list systems. So voters will have a second voting paper with a party on it and people that represent that party under it. And you can vote for your party. And what that will do is, it's called a top-up list. It will allocate seats where it's been that a party has had a load of votes but not won a load of seats. So it'll basically compensate for that.
Oh, so like if you keep coming second, but actually across all of Wales, you've done quite well. Let's chuck a couple of you guys in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. A top-up system, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a regional list top-up system. So the new proposal is that they're going to do away with the first-past-the-post system entirely.
Okay.
And everyone will be able to have one vote, but they will elect 6 members in each constituency. So you'll have 6 members representing you, and that is done just on those party list basis. So if any of your listeners have ever voted in the European Parliament elections in the UK, it's that system where you just vote for a party and the party essentially picks who your representatives are.
And if it's a list, you're just voting for one party? You're not ranking them in order of preference?
No, so it's just voting for one party. At ERS would advocate for preferences. But this is just, you get one vote, you vote for your party, and as the party is essentially decided, the list is how that gets elected.
And is it, and so if you've got 6 people representing each constituency, is it kind of proportionate? Like, okay, 30% of people put Labour as their top choice, so we're going to have a few more Labour, but quite a few people put Green, so we're going to have a couple of Green, and then one, you know, we're going to have one Conservative because it's a small chunk. Is it kind of proportionate is what I'm asking?
Yeah, it's a proportional list system. And they're pretty commonly used. We see them a lot in Scandinavia, like Costa Rica, I think. So really common for parties to be elected on a list and for people to have multiple elected representatives. I think the idea behind that is that often if you're in an area, you know, one elected representative from one party probably isn't going to represent everyone's views. But if you've got 6 and you're kind of electing multiple members, it's more likely that you're going to have someone who actually you feel like represents you.
It's more likely that you're going to feel like there's someone who I voted for representing me. Because quite often you get kind of people in constituencies that are like, there's literally no point me voting because I'm not in cahoots with the majority of my area. So like that, I suppose, helps that feeling. What concerns me is those 6 people, if they're all from different parties, are they ever going to get anything done?
So they should do. Obviously, they'll be then elected to the Senate, and the Senate will have like party groups, and the largest party might have to work with others. But, you know, the majority will form essentially a government. You know, at the moment, that is Labour with Plaid Cymru supporting it. We've seen a lot of kind of cooperation, informal coalitions in Wales, and it's actually, I think, meant that more's been done in a way, because parties kind of have to work together. There's a different way that it works in Wales really from Westminster. I think there's much more kind of consensus and like cordiality that's come as a result of like parties technically being forced to work together.
Are you saying people are rude to each other in UK Parliament? Oh my god.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the Senate. I'm just saying they probably like know each other a bit better, and it's a little bit more like a critical friend.
Okay, got it. Okay, so more politicians, change in voting system, and then another one of these big changes that's kind of caught my eye is that they want to legislate for gender equality in Parliament. Can you explain what would that look like? How would that work? How are they going to strategize to get more women essentially in there?
Yeah, so the Senate's always been a bit of a leader when it comes to gender equality. So in 2003, the then Assembly, it's changed names in the past 25 years. So it was the National Assembly for Wales, it's now the Senate, but the then Assembly became the first legislature in the world, can't say that word, to reach 50-50 gender equality. And since then, we've always had quite a high representation of women, but it's slipped back a little bit. And I think what these proposals do is try and put in a little bit of a stopgap to ensure that we've got 50-50 gender diversity.
That's what we're going for, 50-50.
50-50. And how it will look is when voters turn up to a polling station, they, as I mentioned, will vote for a party, but that list that comes under the party that the parties will decide will have to alternate between male and female. And they will alternate between constituencies as well. So I think in theory, if you're in constituency one and there's a man, woman, man on your list, then the constituency two would have woman, man, woman in terms of the order. So that in theory should guarantee 50-50 representation.
And what about, I mean, maybe you've not got a direct answer for this, but obviously there are people who don't necessarily identify one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big test for the legislation. We obviously wouldn't like to see anything that excludes non-binary people or kind of forces a binary choice when actually we know that there's sometimes not a binary choice when it comes to these things.
So and I that think also this, needs representation, doesn't it? Obviously UK it Parliament does. Is pathetic when it comes to this realm, but I'm interested to see if there's kind of affirmative action or active steps being taken. Since you're doing this, why not also look to enhance the ability of that community to have representation?
I think they probably will, and it's something that we'll be really interested to see when the bill that will be eventually introduced comes in. We'll be really interested to see how that, you know, ensures that people aren't left out or excludes particular communities. One of the things we were also calling for was some kind of mechanism to increase representation of like Black, Asian, minority ethnic communities, because we know the Senate hasn't been particularly representative when it comes to that. And I think there is an ongoing conversation about like what actually could be done that would support people from other protected characteristics, not just gender.
Okay. When is all of this happening? And when will, for instance, if it goes through and your voting system changes, when's your next general election?
Yeah, so last week there was a debate in the Senate, and essentially members then voted to say, yeah, let's go ahead and draft a law on this basis. We would expect that to be introduced probably 12 to 18 months time if everything goes to plan. And then the aim is to have all of this in place for the 2026 election. So it's really not that far away. It feels okay. Like it, sat here now, but it's going to sneak up on us really quickly. So actually, these changes are going to come in much sooner than you might expect.
Yeah, I mean, 2026 doesn't feel that near, but when it comes to lawmaking, I know that these things just take ages. And like, this is drafting up dry ass documents to explain exactly how everything's going to operate, and it's going to cover every loophole. And this is lawmaking. So I guess four years does feel terrifying to get
this
done.
I am not jealous of the lawyers that are going to have sleepless nights trying to draft this. And I'm also not looking forward to wading through it when it gets published.
I was going to say, who are you not jealous of? This is your problem. Okay, I love it. Listen, that's my questions answered. I feel completely clued in. Do you think there's anything I've missed that people will be like, hang on, I've got a question and she didn't ask it?
I don't think so. The one thing I'd say is this is still like a TBC. Like it's still kind of on a knife edge, because you know what can happen with politics. Like it might all go to one side as something else big happens. Or it might be that one of the parties involved, particularly the Labour Party, like their members just don't like it. You know, there's still a few ifs and buts on this.
It just shows that like once you devolve some power and then a bit more and then a bit more, it shows even though we are a united kingdom of nations, each nation wants to operate so differently. And if you give them that power, they'll take it and run with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's been a Welsh way of doing democracy that's kind of emerged in the past few years, like be it votes of 16 or just, you know, or proposals to strengthen our parliament.
I like that you use strengthen rather than like change. It's clear that you're in favour.
Strengthen.
Okay.
Jess Blair there, director of the Electoral Reform Society Cymru. I've put her and the ERSC's details in the description of this episode, the episode description. I really liked talking to her. She made everything really clear. She really got what this podcast is about. And although she is the director of the Electoral Reform Society, so she obviously has her very specific view on how this should go and how the changes, you know, should happen, basically. But that is a point that's worth discussing. Is everyone in agreement? And I know I asked her that and she kind of touched on it, but let's dig further because, you know, we should go about understanding the different viewpoints from the different parties. And, you know, looking into it, like she says, there is a reason that these potentials are being sort of pushed through now. And that's because there is, at this time, the political will to do it, majoritarily speaking. In terms of like sheer numbers, it's got a good chance at this time. And that's why there's a kind of momentum behind it, I suppose. Since there is this cooperation deal between Welsh Labour, who hold half of the overall seats in the current parliament, 30 of the 60 in the Senedd, and this collaboration deal is between them and Plaid Cymru, who hold 13 seats in that 60. So together they have that all-important two-thirds majority, which is needed for big changes like these ones to be made. So that's kind of why it's happening, and that is why the theme of this is like, well, there's a huge chunk of people that support this, but, you know, yes, Welsh politics is a bit more collaborative, it seems. Stereotypically, it might not be as dramatic than what you get with the sort of rabble in Westminster, but it is politics. And where there is politics, there is friction, let's say. And here, the Conservative Party, who are in a minority, which is very surreal in Wales, you know, drastically different to Westminster, where their majority is so beefed up. The Welsh Conservatives ultimately oppose the idea of increasing the number of elected officials. And they are cross with the way that Mark Drakeford of Welsh Labour and Adam Price, the leader of Plaid Cymru, have been going about this. Because basically, Welsh Labour and Plaid Cymru released this joint press statement outlining how these changes could and should look. Like, it was their kind of joint approach. This is what good looks like in our view. But there is actually already in existence this kind of cross-party committee that is dedicated to establishing just that. Like, how should this work? What are our recommendations? What would these changes entail? And the Welsh Conservatives were a part of that committee, even though they fundamentally disagree with what it stands for. It was this kind of view of like, if you can't beat them, join them. This is probably happening, so we might as well have our say, we might as well have our voice and contribute to how it will look eventually. But with Labour and Plaid Cymru putting out this press statement, some Conservatives have voiced the fact that they feel sidelined. Have a listen to this. It's the voice of a very unimpressed Darren Millar, who was the Conservative representative on that committee.
Members of the Senedd will be aware from the exchange in First Minister's questions and indeed from a press release issued this morning at 9:15 that the First Minister and the leader of Plaid Cymru have effectively thwarted the work of the Senedd Reform Committee, which was established by all members of this Senedd in order to consider the future reform of this Senedd. Now, my party, of course, has always opposed an increase to the number of members of the Senedd, but we have consistently said that we recognise that there's a majority of members of the Senedd that want to see reform and that there's a mandate to deliver some. And on that basis, we joined the Senedd Reform Committee in good faith in order to play a constructive part in the role and work of that committee in order that it could make recommendations for the Welsh Government to deliver on. That has been undermined today. The work of this Senedd has been undermined today, and it has been disrespectful in terms of the way that the First Minister and the leader of Plaid Cymru issued that particular press release. I think we owe it, the people of Wales are owed, a statement in this chamber where the First Minister and indeed the leader of Plaid Cymru can be cross-examined on their proposals for reform in order that we can demonstrate to the people of Wales that we are properly and fully considering them. It's inappropriate for that committee to be strong-armed into a position on the basis of cosy discussions, frankly, in ministerial offices.
there you go. Some strong feelings there from Darren Millar, a member of the, you know, the Welsh Senedd, and he was the Conservative sort of representative on that committee, but he has since resigned from that committee, saying that it had become pointless. Okay, we're talking about who disagrees with these changes or how they're being done. And the second piece on this that Jess and I discussed was the idea of this new voting method, the party list system that would go along with how it all works. And she talked about how this is more proportional than the first past the post system, which, as we talked about, is just, you know, if you get the most votes in an area, you win. Well done. Even if it's really spread out and you've got one candidate that's got 30% and another candidate that's got 28% and another candidate that's got like 10% and it goes, even with 30% of the vote, which is not a majority, it's nowhere near, technically you got the most, so you win. First past the post, simple as that. This would change that and be more proportionate. So it'd matter more for you to have, you know, those non-winners represented. And so on that, there are people who disagree with the way this is being going, like this is going about. And particularly there are voices on the side of the people who think, actually, this isn't going far enough. It's not proportionate enough. Jane Dodds, who is the only Liberal Democrat member of the Senedd, said just that in her view, this new system will not give smaller parties, like the Liberal Democrats in a Welsh context, it will not give them access to more seats in reality. That's her view. And actually, Cardiff University backed that up. They said the Senedd will likely, still under this new system, if it happens, be mostly made up of Labour, Plaid Cymru and the Conservatives, as it currently is. But Jane Dodds has said, look, that new system would still need her party, the Liberal Democrats, to get, quote, at least 12%. And that's a huge leap for us. So there's a voice that says, look, this isn't enough. But you're always going to get that on either side of things. Like the chair of the committee, Hugh Iranka Davies, has said that this isn't about trying to create something perfect. It's about something that's practical. That was, you know, that was that sentiment, meaning that it in order to get the support of enough people to get it passed into law, it's like anything in politics, you need enough people to support it. And often to get that, you have to dilute and dilute and dilute until enough people are happy to get it over the line. So that was the sentiment here. Have a listen.
There is no one single, unadulterated, perfect package of electoral reform which will satisfy everyone. Yet there are some systems or combinations of systems which potentially seek more perfectly to achieve multiple aims, such as different expressions of proportionality, simplicity, diversity, and so on. But secondly, and unavoidably, the odyssey that our committee set out on was to find proposals that must also win support across the whole Senedd, that supermajority of myths and legends, not to seek some vision of perfection and thereby sacrifice practicality and delivery by 2026.
So there you go. And as Jess said, these are still proposals at the stage that I'm recording this episode. It's currently 10 to midnight on Monday, the 20th of June. Yes, I need more sleep and yes, I need a life. But at the point that we're standing at, these are still proposals. But with, you know, that two-thirds, the 40 members voting in favour of them last week, it looks as though there is strong support for this within the Senedd. 40 out of 60 voted in favour last week. You know, that's the majority it needs. So if that continues, then we're likely to see this happen. Don't bet on anything. I swear I end every podcast by saying that. Like, for God's sake, please. As soon as you think you know something, you probably don't. But this will be an interesting one to keep an eye on and to see, you know, what is the new future of Welsh democracy and how that might look. And then, you know, if these changes do go through, we can compare and contrast, like, oh my God, do they have a more effective parliament if they push hard for that diversity piece? What does that look like? How does it work in practice? It will be so interesting for non-Welsh onlookers to see what works, because they could sort of guinea pig themselves in some of these ways. Let me know what you think of the ideas. Are you Welsh? And if so, are you a fan or are you indifferent, or are you against? And are you not Welsh? And if so, are you kind of jealous that these big moves are being made? Or are you indifferent? Perhaps there's lots of indifference. You can contact me at juliabell_x, and or you can follow the Bare Naked Politics page at Bare Naked Politics. Make sure, if you'd like to keep this podcast going, you become a patron. The link for that is in the episode description. It's the equivalent of a cup of tea every month, and it keeps me able to keep making these and sort of fitting them around what is a hectic life. But thank God I have a wonderful pool of talent, let's call them that. Let's be wanky. A pool of talent who are kind of contributing to this week on week. This week, again, was produced by Hannah Anderson. Hannah, you did a great job. Thank you. And Hannah's Welsh, so she was able to offer that perspective, which I was very, very appreciative of. And listen, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being a listener. I really mean that. If you're a kind of one episode every 6 months, or you're a loyal every time I release, you listen. However you like to go about this, that's great. Podcasts are there for you to just indulge in whenever you have a moment and that you want to educate yourself or you want to relax. They're such a freeing form of media, in my opinion, and I love that you guys use it however you want to use it. You message me sometimes, you keep in touch with me. I just love that stuff. I think it's really important, and I think that this is a community. Whether you like it or not, I think that there's a group of people who are pretty loyal. Do you know what? I had a really old, I want to say mate, but actually not really, because she was in my neighbouring halls at uni. And we weren't that close, but she, you know, I knew of her and she knew of me. She was actually really nice. I really liked her, but, you know, just weren't that good friends. And then we've got some mutual friends. So we've like bumped into each other a couple of times over the years. And she was at my best mate's 30th the other week, and it was really nice to see her. We had a nice catch up, and then she sent me a message on Instagram today or yesterday. She was like, hey, this is super random, but I was at work and we were talking about podcasts. Hang on, let me get the message. She said lovely to see you at Tash's birthday. Just letting you know, we had a round the room at work on everyone's favorite music and podcast, and someone mentioned you and how much they've learnt. And then she put lots of clapping emojis. And I thought that was so cool that, like, this person that I kind of, you know, have been in and out of each other's lives in the periphery reached out to say, like, your name came up totally separately from me. And I love that. Like, obviously it's a huge ego stroke, but it's just nice to know that there's a community of us dotted around predominantly the UK, but there's lots of you guys in the US and all over the world, Brazil, Germany. So it's just a really special and exciting thing. And I appreciate that you guys get it. You get what I'm trying to do. You benefit from it. And you send that love right back. So thank you. And with that, be safe. Look after yourself. And I'll speak to you in the next one. Goodbye.